Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo-woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal Boys and Girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me, as always, fine gentleman. You know him. And actually, I see his face.
What's up?
He's in the same room as me, a gentleman named Dan Rubenstein.
Ty, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I feel like we've recorded a lot in 2017 in person.
That's true.
I'm not used to this.
No, we've recorded a good amount in person. This is the first time we're recording in this specific place. We are in the SB Nation Lounge within the new Vox Media office space. So this is the first time we've recorded here. I'm sitting on a very comfortable suede couch. You're in a large chair.
This is the most comfortable I've ever been podcasting.
Really? Is that?
And true story.
Yeah.
Usually when I podcast, because I'm cheap,
mm-hmm.
The spare bedroom in which I have all my gear, I am sitting on Solid Wife's old keyboard stool. It does not have a back
Ty,
on it.
You got to be more comfortable.
Horrible ergonomics.
What are you doing with your life?
So I'm in a chair. It's got a back.
Ty, you are well into
How
your
does
30s.
The other half lived in.
Oh my God. I'm living great here right now. Life is good. So you were in New York. We were taking care of some business. But we have a themed episode right now.
Yes.
We are going to finally, I mean, it's not the Verbies, although I think we will get to the Verbies sooner than we did last year.
At some point, yeah. Yes. Last year, it was like May.
It was deep into the spring.
If we push it off until May, that's not good. So we're gonna try and get that out of the way soon.
Sure. But what we're going to do right now, and we've talked about doing this, we're going to score the fantasy things draft that we had. It was last summer, last July, I believe.
Yeah.
Put together. We each drafted, what, like 10 different items? Something around there.
We've got the sheet in front of us here, about 10-ish, yeah.
Yeah, 10 or 11 items each, and we're going to score it out and figure out on a scale from 1 to 5 for each item how strong each of these items performed for us, or not so strong. So we're going to score that, and we're going to figure out, we're just going to get to the bottom of who is more accurate as for predicting college football things.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So the genesis of the fantasy things, if you're mm-hmm. picking it up, it's the off season. I want to listen to college football, but I don't know where I can listen to college football. You just found the show.
Yep.
This was something basically that you and I did to kill time.
Yes.
In the off season.
And because the people demand it.
And because the people demand it, of course. Now.
Yeah.
But this is the second year that we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of drafting college football players, like a fantasy team.
I'm uncomfortable with that.
You know? Instead of doing something like that, we decided, how about we put our own little spin on it and we draft storylines?
Yes.
Right? So, again, the one I'll harken back to.
Narratives, as our friends in Long Island would call it.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Narratives.
But to harken back to year one of fantasy things, mm-hmm. I drafted Mike Gundy's hairline.
Yes.
Which, at the time, was a horrible selection.
It was not great.
If I had kept it
mm-hmm.
through to this year,
mm-hmm.
it would have been like LaDainian Tomlinson.
It would have been to the point where it seemed weird that you were able to predict Mike Gundy's hair becoming a storyline.
And I have this problem. Do you play fantasy sports anymore?
Not anymore, no.
I have this problem with fantasy sports.
Yeah.
I do it in football.
Mm-hmm.
I do it in baseball. I'm all in on the prospects, but like a year or two early.
Okay.
All right. So perhaps some of the ones that I drafted here.
See, I'm always looking
to pop in 2017.
My fantasy strategy used to be, I don't do it anymore. I want to find that Phil Rivers. I want to find that Paul Konerko. So, like, I would have drafted something with, like, Howard Schnellenberger this year, that he would have come back and made some sort of comeback. This was, when you look at our teams, there's not a lot of great picks that we made, but there's a lot of solid picks here. So we're going to score this. We are going to just catch up on life, I think, afterwards. Yeah. It's been a while since we've talked.
I haven't talked to you. We haven't heard hide nor hair from you since you went to Mexico City.
That's true. I was in Mexico City and Houston. Before that, what did we do? So we aired Adam Amin. We did our live show together.
Yeah.
Did we record? What did we do between that? I don't even remember. What was our last show?
I don't remember what I had for breakfast, Dan.
Okay. Just making.
We did our live show. We aired a show that we did with Adam Amin.
What did we do after that? Oh, signing day.
Signing day.
We had signing day with
Brandon
Hoffman.
How quickly we forget. Yeah.
I was sick and in the middle of. I'm perennially sick right now. I don't like this at all. But yeah, I did that, the signing day show from the Houston Convention Center. So
okay,
I'm glad that we can just slow down, grade this out, and just catch up.
The people demand it.
Yeah.
The other part of the fantasy thing story that I did not tell was that we decided this year we were going to get serious about it.
Absolutely.
Because again, we came up with this idea. We didn't know what it was going to be.
Very serious.
We're just trying
people.
To kill time. First year, we just figured out, well, we'll keep track on it, roughly speaking. I'm not going to put any real tabulation behind it. This year, the people demanded a real scoring sheet, and we put one together. In fairness, I have a very sophisticated sheet here. And we kept sort of track of it through about halfway
this
season-ish.
That sounds right.
Goes up to about halfway, exactly. And then it trailed off.
And as is wont to happen.
Conveniently enough, we were tied at 19-19. So now we're actually going to go
slate.
Fresh slate. Let's take a look at this and see what happened.
Do you want to talk about news after?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, Alabama's had three offensive coordinators in like 3 weeks. So there's that. But yeah, let's do that. So let's begin.
We got ground to cover. We each picked 10 different narratives, if you will.
Yeah.
I will start with mine. This is an order of.
Do you want to go back and forth, or do we want to go all through yours?
Let's go back and forth.
Okay. First.
My first one was Tom Herman coaching rumors. This is my first pick.
Such a strong pick.
So if we're grading on a scale of 1 through 5.
Yeah. 5 being inescapable.
Right.
Everywhere you turn in college football, this thing is there. 1 being complete non-factor.
So I'm going to go 4.
I think that's right.
Tom Herman coaching rumors.
I'm good with that.
It was not something you could ever escape.
Right. Well, so LSU fires their coach early. So there's that. Texas has the rumors all year long that actually comes to fruition. Oregon looks like they're on the hot seat all year long, and he has the connection to the West Coast and the offense that Oregon runs. So there were, I think throughout the season, it was pretty persistent that Tom Herman was most likely going to end up somewhere big.
I reserve the right to go back and amend this to a 5. If we go the full way through and we decide that maybe it should be bumped up to a 5. The reason I say 4 is because the rumors sort of ceased being rumors.
Yeah.
About midway through the season, it was apparent that he was either going to go to LSU or Texas or some other big name program.
Even early on, when people were doubting Clay Helton and his future at USC, when they were 1-3 and everybody assumed that they were going to be a huge bust. Tom Herman's from the LA area.
You knew he was going to go somewhere. There was no need for rumors.
I think 4 is right. Because I think in the middle pocket of the season, with the loss to SMU, with the loss to Navy, I think his sort of Q rating took a hit. And I don't think it was as persistent. So I think 4 is fair.
All right. So I'm going to keep track of it right in our spreadsheet here.
Okay. I have four down here. Yep.
All right. So that is you.
Mm-hmm. So I took the weekly college football ranking show as being a discussion point.
Inescapable, unescapable for the second half
of
the season.
5-6 weeks. Yeah.
Definitely a discussion point. This was very much a Paul Konerko kind of pick.
I think so.
Just serviceable.
It was a stronger year too, because the discussions were more robust, I will say, because nobody quite understood what was happening with the logic involved.
Okay.
Why certain teams were as high as they were or not as high as they were. So I feel like this is in the 3 to 4 range.
I would say 3.
Okay. I'll take the 3.
3. Are we going just integers, or are we going to go decimals as well?
No, I think we should just keep it integers.
Integers.
Yeah.
Whole numbers.
Good integer reference.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm up 4-3, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we bookend this crap?
Yeah.
Go ahead. You go again.
Oh, okay.
That's how
it's
we did
a snake.
Draft.
Yeah, that's true. So my number 2 pick appears to be Michigan State disrespect.
Ooh.
Yes. So
this is going to be a spirited debate, Dan.
So here's the question. I think you're right. It is going to be a debate. What do we define as disrespect? Because, yes, I can make the argument Illinois football disrespected Michigan State this year. I can make the argument that the entire Big Ten disrespected Michigan State and did not respect their previous results.
Michigan State disrespected Michigan State.
Michigan State disrespected Michigan State. But I think I have to be, if I'm going to be one of the pillars of the fantasy things draft and league, between the two of us, the founding father, I think I have to go with the spirit of this pick. And the spirit of Michigan State disrespect is Michigan State being good, but not being acknowledged rightfully
so.
Not getting their due.
Right.
Michigan State, after beating Notre Dame, everybody figured was good. At the very least was good. But then their just immediate downfall, sort of ended the possibility of disrespecting how good Michigan State was.
This was a Ryan Leaf caliber bust right here.
Right. But I made this pick in July.
Yeah.
So I had all of July and August of listening to Michigan and Ohio State exclusively.
Correct.
Was there a team in the Big Ten that was probably disrespected like Michigan State had been disrespected? I would argue Penn State was that team.
Okay.
Nobody believed in Penn State until it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
They kept winning and ultimately they won the conference.
Okay.
So I believe that Michigan State disrespect was handed to Penn State. I'm going to say Michigan State disrespect because of July and August and because of early on in the season. I will say two.
Two feels about right.
Okay.
I'm looking at our score sheet here.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, this wasn't like a normal season. We did this, first week of July-ish?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From the 11th of July, mm-hmm. Through Christmas time mm-hmm. is what I have on the sheet here. From July through the third week of September, there were only 3 weeks where we did not tick a mark here.
Award Michigan State disrespect. Okay.
So early on, it seemed as if you were going to be really rolling in it here.
Right.
I would contend, to my earlier point,
yeah,
Michigan State disrespect could be a hell of a pick for this coming season.
That's where, yeah, because so
you
built
might have
up,
been a year too early. They might have had that off year.
God, there's so much organic disrespect that's been built up with Michigan State. It's a really good year to get out. They started 2-0. They beat Furman and they beat Notre Dame and they're ranked. And then they lose 7 straight games.
Wow.
Do you know how many non-Rutgers Big Ten wins they had this year? It would be 0.0. It would be 0.0. So
what a bad year.
Sorry, Sparty.
All right. So we're going 2. I feel comfortable with the 2. That brings it back to me.
Yeah. What do you have?
My second pick was Bill Hancock's bullshit.
A pretty good pick, given the history of Bill Hancock.
A good pick, given his history, but even on my own scoring sheet,
mm-hmm.
only had 2 weeks where he was trying to spin something.
Right.
That's really what this gets to. The quintessential Bill Hancock bullshit
mm-hmm.
is him trying to pull, spinning things is very popular in mm-hmm. today's day and age.
Yes.
Bill Hancock was the original.
Can I tell you something? I have a little bit more respect for Bill Hancock in this day and age. I can't imagine giving him more than 2.
No.
It's just, there just wasn't all that much. There was some spin coming to future scheduling.
I'm going
to
go 1.
I think 1 is fair here.
I feel like 1 is fair here.
Yeah.
We will get more Bill Hancock bullshit
in the future. Oh, yeah.
But probably when we least expect it.
Yes.
Okay. The reason that I took this pick so high,
mm-hmm.
it was sort of coming on the heels of them putting college football playoff games on New Year's Eve.
Right.
Still, by and large, a disaster.
Yeah.
Not as big a disaster mm-hmm. as it had been the year previous.
Mm-hmm.
This coming season, we're not going to have that.
Well, he's like literally a grandfather, and he's grandfathered in too. I mean, he runs the BCS. He helps to run the playoff. Whatever iteration we have of college football postseason that we have next,
yeah.
even if it's called the Bill Hancock is definitely not involved with this playoff system. Oh, who's the executive director? Oh, it appears to be Bill Hancock.
It might be Bill Hancock.
Bill Hancock is running things. Yeah.
Okay.
So
I go 1 here.
Yeah, I'm giving you
just
that
not
one.
Not enough bullshit.
All right, let's snake around. We got a lot to get through.
I have Jim Harbaugh / SEC feud as my third pick.
Obviously, white hot to start off things white in the hot. Fall. What do we think about the during the season?
Kind of cooled off.
It did cool off.
It cooled off. I can't.
They have an ACC team in a bowl game. They don't get the SEC.
I can't go higher than a 2.
Okay.
I feel like 2 is the proper score here.
Yeah.
Because it started off so white hot, it feels mm-hmm. a lot to me like the Michigan State disrespect.
Right.
But I can't go higher than a 2 because it did cool off.
Yeah. I mean, if we were talking about Jim Harbaugh Western Europe feuding,
yeah,
no, that might be a thing moving forward. Yeah. But he is taking his act away from Florida, away from the IMG Academy. I mean, we'll see what happens with satellite camps moving forward. But unless you were watching the Paul Feinbaum show, I don't feel like there was much in the way of back
2.
And forth.
2.
Okay.
I'd go 1.5 if we were doing decimals.
I think the satellite stuff and the discussion point in August, I think gets you a 2.
2.
Okay.
Right. It's in the books for a 2. Go ahead. Your turn.
All right. This is back to me. I have Mark Richt as a Miami alumnus.
Did he go to Miami?
He indeed went to Miami.
Really?
It was Miami of Florida.
I had no idea.
The University of Miami.
Okay.
It's all about the U.
So it's great that he is now head football coach in Coral Gables.
Yes.
Okay.
It is a crazy coincidence.
Huh.
I'm going to give myself a 4 here.
Really?
I'm going to give myself a 4 because you could not watch a Miami broadcast without it at least being mentioned once.
Okay.
So that's very specific to Miami games. The problem, though, is how many big Miami broadcasts were there? Like big on the national
Florida
stage?
State, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Yeah. I mean, the bowl game.
Right.
He got attention on signing day. They signed a real nice class.
My initial thought was 3.
Okay. Why 3? Just because Miami was not in a constant conversation?
That's right.
I'll take a 3.
I feel like a 3, but no lower than a 3.
Yeah, I wouldn't take lower than a 3 because it was consistent.
Okay. I almost unwavering. Feel bad only giving you a 3 for that. This is another tweener for me.
Yeah, it was consistent, but how consistently were we all watching Miami games?
That's right.
Or at least listening to Miami broadcasts or taking... Yeah, I feel like that cooled off over the course of the season.
See, I'm looking at yours, just through 3 picks, and we got a motor here because we're falling behind schedule.
Okay.
But look, you got a 3, a 2, and a 3. I've got a 4, a 1, and a 2.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have 2 threes than a 4, a 2, and a 1.
Yeah, you've got a lower floor, maybe a higher ceiling. All right, so we're going to snake back around. Josh Rosen's 2018 draft stock.
Rough.
Rough year for the draft stock.
He's not even the draft stock king of Los Angeles.
I'm not even sure I heard the words draft mentioned in accordance with Josh Rosen after like...
Well, I mean, he was hurt halfway into the year, but...
Yeah, no one's even talking about Rosen now.
Serious nerve damage. I think people are much more concerned. I mean, it's going to be a new offense yet again for UCLA. They fire Kennedy Polamalu. They're bringing in Jed Fish. More pro style again, though. I'm going to have to give myself a 1 here.
This is a 1.
It has to be a 1.
This is a 1. I was all in on Josh Rosen, too. I wanted Josh Rosen's draft stock on my team.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, let's circle back to you. What do you got?
Christian McCaffrey's versatility.
Okay. Stanford sort of fell off a cliff attention-wise pretty early on in the season.
Let me tell you why I believe I came up with this storyline.
Right.
I'll tell you why I came up with it and why I picked it.
Okay.
This is one of those things like Tom Hammond's random factoid.
Mm-hmm.
Just some nervous... I'm using the word tick a lot on this show, and I don't know why. Maybe it's my own little tick.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally enough, but it is one of those announcer things that they focus in on that they can't get enough of. They can't help themselves talking about how versatile this guy is. This may be another Michigan State disrespect kind of situation where they mentioned it a lot last year.
Yeah.
They didn't mention it a lot this year because he was hurt. They will talk about it a ton in the NFL next
Absolutely.
Year.
Well, I think also part of this was there was so much off the field Christian McCaffrey stuff as well. He can play instruments. He's traveled. He's a great student, whatever.
So the versatility did not diminish.
Right.
But what diminished was the coverage of said versatility.
I might give you a 1 here.
This is a 1.
I think you're going to have to take this 1. Yeah.
This is a 1. A total bust pick here.
Yeah.
Versatility. And he's not any less versatile.
He got injured during the year. He had a ton of quarterback troubles. Yeah, I'm going to go with a 1. Really bad offense from Stanford for a chunk of that season. Yeah, I think you got to take the 1 there. All right, let's circle back. What do you got for the next pick?
Hype for a recently unsuccessful Pac-12 school.
Okay.
This is a 2 for Tuesday here.
Yes.
Even though it's a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
That would be USC and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I kind of have both here.
Okay.
Neither one...
USC's been relatively successful recently.
They had 6 losses a year ago,
That's
though.
True. Okay.
All right. Washington, of course, made the playoff. They were a great team this year.
Yeah.
The hype, I feel, very quickly turned into real world, oh, this team is good.
Right. I don't... Okay. So aside from my own personal energy towards the University of Washington that I tried to generate... the Pac-12, especially the Pac-12 North, with Stanford and Oregon sort of quickly, even though Stanford finished with 10 wins, sort of taking themselves out. Stanford got completely murdered by Washington. Oregon was a total train wreck last year. Wazoo was pretty good, but nobody really had a concept for them, and they themselves didn't have a ton of hype because of their early season losses. It was like Boise State and Eastern Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
Oregon State was a wreck until the end of the season. Cal was a wreck all year long. The problem with Washington had nothing to do with Washington, but they didn't have the big games outside of Stanford early and USC late, in which they lost. So after they lost that USC game, people said, like, okay, they're still probably in a good position to get to the playoff, but people... Listen, I'm going to trust you better than I, because I am biased as an Oregon fan. Were people enthused about Jake Browning and Chris Peterson and Washington? I think people just sort of accepted the fact that there was a good shot that they'd be in the playoff.
They accepted it, and I feel like they accepted it almost by default.
Right.
By default.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talked about it. How many times did we talk about this, Dan?
Yeah.
It was very apparent last 5 weeks of the season, mm-hmm. 6 weeks of the season, we knew who was going to be in the playoff.
Right. I mean, they were going to have Colorado or Wazoo in the championship game.
We knew, generally speaking, who was going to be in the Penn State injection. This energy of Penn State into that conversation was interesting. But no, I think by and large, we kind of knew that the hype was more than just hype fairly early on with Washington.
Right.
Here is why I'm inclined to give myself a 3.
Okay. I'll listen, because I have you down as a 2 for this. I'll listen to an argument.
The reason I would say 3 is because there was a lot of late season hype that built on USC.
Okay.
And now as we enter into the offseason, after
it's white hot.
The Rose Bowl, it's going to be at a fever pitch.
Yep.
I feel like I got in on the coattails there of USC. So a lot of Washington early, a lot more USC late after a tough 1-3 start.
Yeah.
Kind of not much in the middle.
I'll give it to you for USC. The USC, like, I feel like USC is like at a 2 and Washington's at like a 1. So because the actual category is hype for a recently unsuccessful Pac-12 school, but is it for recent Pac-12 school or Pac-12 schools? I have singular down here.
Oh.
I have singular down here.
Wow.
So USC didn't have hype till the end of the year. They had a complete vacuum of hype early.
We need like the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
I know we do.
Here to figure this out.
Does yours say school or schools?
It says school.
It says school.
Unsuccessful is spelled hype, wrong, but it does say school.
I corrected it in mine. But we're not talking... But is it the hype that we're talking about?
Hype could be plural.
Right.
Wow.
But the fact that it's hype for a school.
Wow.
What do you... I early on with Michigan State disrespect, I said spirit of the, and listen, you can go either way with this.
Spirit of the pick was Washington.
Right.
At the time.
Okay.
Spirit of the pick was Washington. So you're thinking 1.
No, well, I said 2. You said 3, I said 2.
I'll go 2.
Okay.
Wow.
2 it is.
Grinding me down. Okay.
Yeah.
We got some ad reads here.
Okay, what do we have?
Blue Apron. You ever hear Blue Apron?
Oh my God.
I am actually getting very hungry right
what
now.
What will Ty mispronounce?
It is later in the day, 5:44 to be exact, on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
People will be amazed at how quickly we turn this around.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be out by 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little later tonight, but I am hungry right now. I could go for some Blue Apron right now.
If
Blue Apron knocked on the door right here and said, we want you to cook up some cashew chicken stir fry with tango, mandarins, and jasmine rice, I would say yes.
Yeah.
I'd be all about that. But here is the way this works, basically. You sign up for Blue Apron, and they will deliver fresh ingredients to your doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
They can deliver to 99% of the United States, 99.5%
Hell yeah.
of food deserts. So no matter where you are, they can hit you up.
Make your life easy.
Pre-portioned ingredients, Dan.
Love it.
No food waste. Cook together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Builds lasting relationships.
Bonds.
Cooking. That's what they do. And now, how much do you think something like this costs?
$15, $20 a meal. They're shipping it right to you. That's a good deal for $15 or $20. How much are we talking?
We're talking less than $10 per person per meal. If you want a really good meal, it's a lot more than that if you go out to eat.
It's true.
Less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron. They will deliver all the ingredients, everything you need, and easy-to-follow recipes.
Mm-hmm.
From over, 150 local farms, ranches, fisheries, all across the good old U.S. of A, again, right to your door. They will ship exactly what you need.
Mm-hmm.
home-cooked meals in 40 minutes or less for less than $10 per person per meal.
Yeah. There's something great about knowing what's going into your food. We all like takeout. We all like going out to eat. But like, if you're going to treat yourself right, you should create. Make something.
In addition to the cashew chicken stir fry, which I've already bestowed upon you.
That's true.
Udon noodle soup with miso and soft-boiled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a soft-boiled egg.
Really?
I have no idea what that is.
It's delicious.
How do they... What is that?
It's just inside. It's not... So you know what a hard-boiled egg is?
Yeah, of course.
Inside. It's just softer. It's just not... You don't boil it as long.
Literally softer
boil. It is a literal softer boil.
Is it runny?
It's runnier.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it's good.
Roasted pork with apple, walnut, and farro salad.
You know what farro is?
No idea.
Really? It's sort of... It's a grain. It's like a bulgur wheat kind of thing.
And a crispy barramundi with quinoa and roasted carrot salad. No idea what barramundi is.
It's barramundi? Barramundi.
Don't know.
I'm not positive. It's a fish.
A fish?
Type of fish, yeah.
You can get all that. They'll deliver it
absolutely
right to you. They'll even tell you how to cook it.
Ty, I pulled something up. Where should they go for this, by the way? Is there a password?
Oh, yeah. Password is blueapron.com/solid.
Done.
Blueapron.com/solid. You'll get your first three meals for free with free shipping.
All right, Ty, on my computer screen, I'm going to do this every single time Blue Apron has an ad read with us.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to bring up a food word, a foreign food word.
A foreign food word.
A foreign food word, and you have to tell me how you think it's pronounced. Oh, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
I'm a word smart, so, but this is
a baked egg dish from the Middle East, okay? What is that first word in the recipe headline? Give me Middle Eastern origin.
Shakshuka?
Shakshuka. You did pretty good. Okay. Shakshuka. Okay. It's real.
That was the only game.
That's the only game. If you have the opportunity to try shakshuka, if you're listening to this, or if you're Ty Hildenbrandt or wife Kate, it's very good. Baked eggs in the sauce. Wonderful.
Sounds delightful. Yeah. I like the picture.
Yeah.
The other paying sponsor this evening is our good friends over at Movement Watches.
Oh, wearing one right now.
You are.
There it is. Right there.
I like it.
Yeah.
Looks very sharp.
It's very comfortable.
MVMTwatches.com is actually the URL, but it's Movement Watches. They were founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank, Dan. Mm-hmm. Started actually a lot like us.
Yeah.
Just two guys. They wanted quality watches. They didn't want to pay an arm and a leg. They figured, let's do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they've done now is they cut out the middleman. They sell exclusively online. They've sold over 500,000 watches to 160 countries worldwide. You have one. I have one.
Uh-huh.
You got new digs here?
We do.
At the studio.
Beautiful.
How
new
many
box
compliments did you get this week?
You know what?
For that one, how many compliments?
I was in Mexico City. We can talk about that a little later. My brother specifically commented. He's like, I need a new watch. And also, my brother and my fiance's friend's husband was like, I need a new watch. I love your watch. Where is it from? This is 100% true. He also tried on my jacket. He was very forward about liking my stuff. But it was the watch and jacket, and it's my MVMT
watch. Fashion maven, Dan Rubin.
Absolutely.
So here is how this works. I got to watch how loud I say this. I don't know if these walls are soundproof.
They're not. Not at all.
MVMT, they cut out the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
They sell exclusively through MVMTwatches.com.
Nice.
Their watches start at just $95, Dan.
It's a great deal.
$95.
It feels more expensive on my wrist.
Next week is Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I don't know if your beau or your belle out there likes a nice stylish watch. Just consider it.
Do it.
Even if it's not for Valentine's Day, just consider it.
Take a look.
They start at just $95. That's a fraction of what you pay if you go to a fancy department store and want to buy a watch. Want to buy a nice timepiece. Go to MVMTwatches.com. Step up your watch game. Right now, if you go to MVMTwatches.com/solid, you will get 15% off. Plus, you get free shipping and free returns.
Hell of a deal.
Join the movement.
Absolutely.
It is a hell of a movement. MVMTwatches.com.
I could not imagine a single profession where if you had to tell me I had to become a watchmaker, that I would freak out more. I am so bad with my hands and so like to look at a microscopic backing of a watch and be like, oh, you have to create a timepiece. I would just look at it and as if it were a microscopic Lego and go, fuck. No, 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 no. Yeah. I would. That would terrorize
you
would
get
that me.
Cool little microscopic thing that you wear on
your. It's my nightmare. It's my nightmare.
The monocle? You don't want to wear?
No, that's why I'm glad MVMT is around, so I don't have to do any of that.
Huh. Okay. Well, check them out. Nice watches. Dan's got one on. It really makes him a better person, and I can see that visually.
Yep.
Seated across.
Yes.
From. Okay.
Next.
We left off at hype for a recently unsuccessful
Pac-12 school. Yeah, you got a deuce for that.
That brings us to your pick.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan.
Oh, man.
Dan.
Do we have our first fiver?
You can hear me smiling here. Charlie Strong's Do or Die season was a pick for you.
I gotta get myself a five.
Oh, hell yeah.
Every single week ends up, and this is nothing I enjoy. I don't like when people lose their jobs. Luckily, Charlie Strong was able to land some place that's, I think, as good a non-Power 5 job as there is because of where it's located and their recent success at USF. But in terms of consistency, in terms of how much Charlie Strong was spoken of nationally, locally, regionally, I think we have our first five with Charlie Strong's Do or Die season
here
at Texas.
Here is what makes this pick beautiful.
Yeah. Value pick, too.
Value pick.
Fifth round? Yeah.
Hot damn, you're like the New England Patriots here.
Listen, it's all about value.
Here is what makes this pick beautiful.
Okay. I like how you say beautiful.
I'm doing the...
Yeah.
Is this a Trump thing I'm doing? I'm doing the Trump thing with my hands here.
Yeah, so you're raising three fingers.
The A-OK. It's an emoji now.
Yeah.
For the iOS kids.
Mm-hmm.
What makes this pick beautiful is the fact that Charlie Strong not only... Usually Do or Die is a figure of speech.
Yeah.
He both did and died in the same season.
What can I tell you?
There were moments this season where it looked like he was going to hold on to his job.
There were specific drives that were do or die drives for Charlie Strong. It was such a micro level pick.
And there were obvious points throughout the course of the season where he was legitimately dead.
Yeah.
Then came back to life and then went back to being dead.
This is true.
Yeah, this is a five. This would be a six.
The fact that they started out beating Notre Dame in the fashion that they did. There was the do. Oklahoma State, Kansas was the die.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've got it all in one pick. So, I'm going to hand myself a five.
This is not the best value pick, though.
No, I don't believe it is.
My last round pick is pretty good.
It's wonderful.
I don't know if it will be enough to put me over the top. Right now, you're coming in.
All right. So, my second pick here is the internet freaking out over a Southern QB's girlfriend. Okay.
Who is it? Shea Patterson.
We had early on Trevor Knight with the Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
We had Blake Barnett is dating some sort of professional surfer from Southern California.
That's what I was thinking of.
Blake not Barnett. Yeah, maybe not Shea Patterson. Here's the other thing, though, Ty, where I don't think you've calculated, and I'm going to ask you for your consideration. I haven't decided how I feel about it. This is going to be very personal to you, too.
Okay, personal.
Jordan Rodgers is a Southern QB.
Ooh.
But I think the spirit of it is active Southern QB.
Active Southern QB.
Right.
Wow.
Because we are just talking about freaking out.
You put a new spin on this, Dan.
So Jordan Rodgers was the bachelor winner or bachelorette?
He won JoJo's heart on the bachelorette.
Bachelorette. So he was one of many. Okay.
Our many friends dudes. Over at My Brother and Me would refer to this as a very serious zag that you've done to me right
now. I have zagged. So here's why I'm not going to accept it. It is about an active quarterback, and it is... The freak out is like if you go to like Busted Coverage or one of those sites it's just like you have to check out, you know, this Texas A&M, this Auburn, this Florida State, whatever. That was the spirit of it, so I'm not going to accept the Jordan Rod. If we were to accept the Jordan Rodgers element, also... It's sort of like the object. It's like the person being objectified is the girlfriend, which is not cool at all. But in the Bachelorette turnaround, in the Bachelorette zag, it is Jordan Rodgers who's being objectified.
That's right.
It is this beautiful, what's her name? JoJo?
JoJo, yeah.
So Jordan Rodgers was the object of JoJo's affection. So I don't feel like Jordan Rodgers was being put on websites as you can't believe who JoJo is dating.
Yeah.
And pictures of Jordan Rodgers.
See, this,
so I'm not going to accept it.
This is
a zag.
This is part of the reason why we're America's most honest college football podcast. I was voted my senior year of high school most honest.
Okay.
Either that or I'm a great liar. But one, we're trying to bring honesty here.
That's true.
And I appreciate that.
For yeah. So I'm just saying I considered it if it was going to be, if it was going to make its way through, that was a definite five.
So what do we give it, man? I don't think
it was a needle moving year as for attention. Like if it were AJ McCarron, Catherine White year, I would have gone five. Catherine Webb.
How quickly we forget.
That's true. I'm going to give myself a three because I thought it was, there was the consistent drum beat, but I don't think anybody really spiked the needle.
Okay.
So are you good with a three for that?
A three feels a little aggressive.
Really? Okay.
But
I see the problem is I don't think either one of us really patronizes, whatever, reads the sites that are posting this all that often.
I'll give you a three, Dan.
Okay. I'm going to take the three.
I'll give you a three because I'm a nice guy.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Okay.
That oh, man. If only Blake Barnett had held on to his starting position, I would have definitely had four.
All right. That brings us to me.
What do you have?
An attacking mentality.
Okay.
So here's what's interesting about this. The reason I brought this up is because every year there are teams who get a new defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And what does every new defensive coordinator want to bring to the table that his predecessor did not have?
Can I tell you? We are going to bring pressure with an aggressive attacking mentality.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. They all want to have an attacking mentality.
Bring a lot of pressure.
And it seems as if they all say that. Now, what's fascinating to me about this is at least through half of the season, this got more points than hype for a recently unsuccessful school, more points than Bill Hancock's bullshit, and one fewer point than Tom Herman coaching rumors.
Yeah.
This did surprisingly well.
Yeah.
Through at least the halfway point. I would not have in my wildest dreams imagined a situation in which I'd be thinking about maybe giving this a four.
Okay.
But I could probably build a strong case for giving this a four.
What is your case? This is a pick centered around December when new defensive coordinators are being hired.
Right, right.
December, January.
It's centered around that, but it's also centered around August. When everyone is talking to the media,
a new defensive coordinator. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
So my case for it is that this came up a lot more in the early part of September than I expected.
Okay.
With that in mind, I can't in good faith give this a four, but I can give it a three.
I think I'm okay with three because if I were to ask you right now, who in December or early January was a defensive coordinator hire that everybody, like, sure. So going into the season, Bob Shoop, who everybody was giving us links, was talking about having an attacking mentality. I don't feel like there was a big enough hire as I look across, you know, LSU, they keep Dave Aranda. So there is not that huge press conference. Todd Orlando, I don't think there was a big word about being more attacking and more aggressive for Texas. At Oregon, Jim Levitt, you know, he's a big personality, but I don't feel like there was, maybe I missed it, I don't feel like there was that initial burst of aggressive attacking, bring pressure, quote-wise. So I feel like it was consistent, but I didn't hear it from huge names all over the place. So three feels right.
Okay.
Consistent, but not, consistent drumbeat, but not loud.
Okay. That gives me three. That gives me 13 overall.
Yeah.
So you've got like one in hand here and you still got 17.
Yeah.
So you're coming out on top here. This one I feel could be a spirited debate.
Okay. I'm ready.
Texas A&M's quarterbacks heads are falling off.
So this is my second pick.
This was a good one. This was your sixth round selection.
Yeah.
What is the origin of this pick?
The origin of the pick is both Kyle Allen and Kyler Murray transferred in very short time away from Texas A&M, giving them, I believe at the time, it was just J.Q. Hubenek, whatever.
Yeah, Hubenek.
And then Trevor Knight eventually used his grad transfer year to move south from Norman to College Station and took over and at least solidified things in terms of depth chart and having multiple quarterbacks play. He does get hurt against Mississippi State. They're going to rely on some young quarterbacks moving forward, but this one peaked early. I think I have to give myself nothing higher than a two.
Yeah, I was going to say one or two.
Yeah.
I'll be generous. I'll go two.
Okay, I'll take it.
We'll go two. Okay.
Move to you.
Move to me?
See, this is where I think there's going to be some spirited debate.
You want to go back and forth here?
Yeah.
Okay. Mine was, my next pick was Ohio State's attrition.
Yeah.
I feel like this one was dead.
I tried to warn you.
I feel like it was dead. There was a little bit of action up front.
Yeah.
People talking about this. There was a little bit of action late. People talking about how much, how much of an impact Ohio State players would have on the draft in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
This is a one.
Here's the problem. I think one is right. The worst thing that could have happened for this pick was Ohio State blowing out Oklahoma.
Yes.
It was the worst thing that could have happened. And thank you, Noah Brown. Thank you, Samuel Weber Brown. They had a huge offensive game. They shut down, for the most part, a very good Oklahoma.
45-24, your final score of that game. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. And
what the funny thing is, though, the story about Ohio State in terms of narratives from my Long Island friends is the overarching thing with Ohio State this year was what is wrong with Ohio State, and especially what is wrong with JT Barrett, which was the opposite of attrition. So the worst thing was the Oklahoma bludgeoning. So that's what
I would agree with that. And we made a sound for the baby Buckeyes. We had this whole little shtick worked up, and it was proof positive that you can't plan these things.
The problem is with that pick, in retrospect, Ohio State recruits far too well to really hone in on attrition.
Yeah.
And you live, you learn.
Well, it was a later round pick.
It's true.
I took a flyer on it.
It didn't
quite pan out. All right, let's go back to you then.
Okay.
This is one I did not keep tabs on.
All right, I'm gonna verify things right now.
So you picked country singer on game day.
Yes,
this is a staple. It happens at least once a year. Who was the guy who just likes every team?
Kenny Chesney. Yes,
was Chesney on this year? Do we know?
He had to have been. But I'm gonna go through. So let's see. That's 2000. Guest pickers. Oh, this is not doing it. This is just names.
Do we have a good list anywhere on the internet?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I'm going to find it right now. Pickers. Game day, ESPN. We're going to use Wikipedia. College game day. Locales. Man, I need to find the guest pickers. Here we go. I should be able to have
it. Let's put it this way. All right. Yeah. We don't need to boil this down to an exact science.
Right.
It's not a one. Because there's always a country singer on game day. And if there's not a country singer, we could do another bit of a zag and say that it's got something to do with the game day intro.
Yeah, it's a guest picker spirit, though. So there's some website called Cole's Game Day Blog. Shout out to Cole. And he lists it here. So it was 2016. I'm not very good. So I can tell you all of the guests.
Okay.
Okay. So Aaron Rodgers.
Definitely not a country singer.
How many weeks were there? 15, 16, 17 weeks?
Yeah.
How many country singers would we need for it to be a legitimate like three? Like four pickers?
I would say four.
Four? Okay. We had Dale Earnhardt Jr. Not a country singer. But not a country singer. Layla Ali, far as I know, not a country singer. Steve Spurrier.
No.
Not a country singer. Philip Fulmer.
No.
Eric Church. Is that a country singer?
I believe so. That'd be one.
So there's one.
Yeah.
Chainsmokers.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. Do you like the Chainsmokers?
I like one song by the Chainsmokers.
I think they're secret garbage. Or maybe they're out in the open garbage. I don't know. Okay. I don't like them at all.
I don't think that. I think the problem with the Chainsmokers is that they have the one guy part of the Chainsmokers who thinks he can sing.
Steve Chain.
Is that Steve Chain?
Steve Chain.
He thinks he can sing, but he can't.
Steve Chain and the Smokers.
I think he's in it for the girls, but that's just my theory.
Same. Ric Flair, not a country singer.
Nope.
Vern Lundquist, not a country singer. Frank Caliendo, not a country singer. Lil Wayne, has he done a country duet? Not going to count it. Spirit. No. Joel McHale, not a country singer. Greg Jennings, not a country singer. That's it.
So it's a one.
It's a one.
All right.
It was a very soft year for country singers on game day.
Back to me.
Yep.
I have this in quotations.
What do you have?
This year's Iowa.
Okay.
This is a one.
It's got to be a one.
This is a one.
Who was there?
The spirit of this pick was that there's going to be an underdog team that is going to be referred to as this year's Iowa.
8-0.
Right. week schedule. Sorry, Iowa fans, but week schedule. They run their way through it.
Mm-hmm.
They somehow burst into
Here was the problem.
National conversation on the heels of that.
The problem was there was a team in their division who was formidable and in it till the end, and people weren't fully sure if they were going to be able to run the table. The problem is Wisconsin is a bigger brand of football than Iowa. Yeah. So you can't say out of nowhere because Wisconsin's played in a bunch of Rose Bowls recently.
If one weren't the absolute floor here, I would give it a zero. This is a bad pick. Bad, bad pick.
I'm looking here. Yeah, it wasn't going to be. You know what? But even Nebraska. You can't say Nebraska's like the come from nowhere, isn't playing anybody. They played Oregon early on in their season.
They are a traditional blue blood national
championship
caliber program.
Like, it would have had to have been from here. It would have to be Illinois, Minnesota, Northwestern, Purdue. I would have taken teams in another conference. It had to have been NC State
or
something like that.
Didn't happen.
Not a dig on NC State, but you know, not the biggest brand name.
Yeah.
So
that's a one. All right.
Are we going back to me?
Back to you.
Locker room coach dancing.
Ooh.
Okay. Who is big this year? So
I'm not.
You had big
I'm not very
speeches.
Plugged into the coach dancing thing.
So you had big speeches. The Dino Babers thing was big, but not a dance.
Right.
The Dino Babers speech was large. PJ Fleck animated. Inspiring to the Western Michigan team.
Row
that boat. But the coach dancing thing, there was a little bit of Dabo. There was a little bit of this. I don't feel like it had this sort of attention that it did the year before. So
okay. One.
I think I'm also going to give that a one. Okay. Two straight ones are not good for my bottom line.
All right. Back to me.
Yeah.
Weird neutral site games.
Okay.
This has to be at least a two.
Okay, explain.
I could go higher.
Give me your case.
The weirdest of the weird was the game between Virginia Tech and Tennessee at Bristol Motor Speedway.
Yeah. Or
that was a weird one.
Cal Hawaii in Australia.
Cal Hawaii in Australia.
Yeah.
The week before the first week of the college football season.
Yeah.
It wasn't just weird neutral site games in venue. We just had like a lot of odd matchups. Didn't Mississippi State go up to play like Boston College?
Yeah, UMass, I think.
Or UMass, excuse me. Same general area.
Wow.
But we had a lot of games like that. It wasn't so much that they were playing on like a cruise ship.
Right.
But they were just two teams that you wouldn't expect to be playing each other.
True.
So I'm inclined to go three.
I'd take a three because of the Bristol Motor Speedway thing, but that, like, we knew that going in.
Like, LSU Wisconsin just doesn't feel like it should ever happen.
Yeah, I feel, I'd give you more enthusiastically the three, and this is obviously your fault. Notre Dame had a garbage season, and where did they play this year?
They played a weird game in Jacksonville against Army.
Yeah.
They played a game at, San Antonio?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like it's a three.
I'll give you the three. It definitely like was a weird year. But, it's a scheduled thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Back to you. This is your last one, then.
College Stadium selling beer. I didn't hear a peep about this during the season.
You picked this one because it was the last pick available.
Yes.
You had no choice.
I had no enthusiasm for this pick.
None whatsoever. So this is a one.
Yeah. Were there any good beer stories from the season?
Dennis Dodd wrote one very early on. Very early on about it, but it was not a controversial take. It was more akin to, hey, you're going to see more stadiums selling beer. The reason that we put this one on the docket was because we thought, and I believe we described it as such, that there would be a crotchety old man column from some guy in like Des Moines. Not to single out anyone in Des Moines.
How dare you?
There was going to be some crotchety old white sports writer bitching and moaning about the kids buying beer and getting drunk. That didn't really.
What I really needed for this pick, I really needed one of the stadiums to have like a revolt. And I needed like beer thrown on the field. You know, everybody's throwing their plastic cans of beer or something like that. I needed that big seminal moment of stadium beer injecting itself into a game. And I just didn't get it.
Okay. This is going to come down to the wire.
Yeah. Who do you have?
It's unbelievable that it's going to come down to this.
Okay.
My final selection was titled Second Guessing Brian Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
That went on a lot this season.
I think this is, we can debate this a little bit though.
It's at least a four.
I think that's okay. I think at least a 4 is good. I can argue 3 a little bit because of how bad Notre Dame was and how little they were talked about outside of like what's wrong with Notre Dame, what happened to Notre Dame's powerful defense. You know, they have this returning quarterback that everybody thinks is a first round pick. They have this defense that people, I think, we're still pretty high on considering the talents, even with injuries in the secondary. It felt like it was more of a defensive story, which is not Brian Kelly's purview.
It was a defensive story, both literally and figuratively.
True.
Because Brian Kelly was very defensive.
Yes.
Just as a human being about where this whole season went. So initially it was the defense, right?
Yeah.
They get rid of Brian Van Gorder. Defense stinks. Then they get rid of Brian Kelly. Or excuse me. I need to be very careful.
Yeah.
They get rid of Brian Van Gorder.
Yes.
And then Notre Dame keeps losing.
Right, but not necessarily because of the defense. The defense solidified.
Not because of the defense, but primarily because they couldn't get all facets of their team firing on all cylinders in the same game.
Right.
They had a couple good games, but not many because it went 4-8. Down the stretch, then it started to become everyone second-guessing Brian Kelly as head football coach.
Fair.
For this football team. Will he retain his job?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't honestly say, as somebody who follows Notre Dame very closely, that there was ever a real moment where I thought they were going to fire him.
Okay.
I do believe his seat has warmed.
Sure.
And his seat is tepid.
Mm-hmm.
I still cannot bring myself to a point in just in any reality in which I honestly believe they're going to get rid of him. I think Brian Kelly's going to leave on his own volition if he leaves at all. But there was plenty of second guessing for Brian Kelly. So at a minimum, this is a 4. It could be a 5.
I struggle to see the case for a 5 just because who outside of, you know, Notre Dame fans in the last month and a half of the season, who is talking about Notre Dame beyond like, you know, everybody that beats Notre Dame loses, you know, every Notre Dame sort of a disaster, but like nobody, I don't think people were going super in depth about what was wrong with Notre Dame.
They're not going in depth, but Notre Dame was a laughing stock.
They were a laughing stock.
They were a laughing stock in the way that 4-8 Oregon was not a laughing stock. And I know that because our friends right here at SBNation.com.
Yes, that's true.
Our friends Matt Brown, who I love and adore and poke fun at and have no real malice towards, okay? I know Matt.
Yeah.
But
you guys even look alike.
A little bit.
Yeah.
He was making the 4-8 jokes. Richard Johnson, another guy whom I adore, who does great work for SBNation.com.
Sure.
Making the 4-8 jokes jokes regularly. You could count all of that tangentially as part of this second guessing Brian Kelly.
You could. If you had drafted Notre Dame jokes, that's a shoe in 5. I don't think saying, but remember Notre Dame is 4-8. Is actively second guessing Brian Kelly. I'll give you a 4.
I will take a 4.
Okay, take your 4.
Here's why that's interesting. That gives me 22. That gives you 22.
All right, let's wrestle. Take off that shirt. Let's wrestle. Let's jelly up.
You mean to tell me that we both finished with 22 on our own arbitrary scoring system?
I took 3 straight singles to finish this out. Country singer on game day, locker room coach dancing, college stadium selling beer. You finished with 1-3-4 this year's Iowa weird neutral site game, second guessing Brian Kelly. The only problem I have with this, with your end scoring, is weird neutral site games, they don't come about during the season. They don't adjust during the season. Unless at some point a venue is changed to something ridiculous because of weather or construction or act of God, whatever. I can't not give you a 3, but I don't know if that is a thing that is something that you can either predict or not predict. So this is all a way of saying, let's wrestle.
Let's wrestle.
Let's wrestle.
Well, here's what we do.
Yeah.
We're an interactive entity. By the way, I am perfectly fine tying with you.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly comfortable losing to you.
It's sort of very old school college football of us to tie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's throw it out. Let's make overtime be the Verballers.
Okay.
All right. You can write in solidverbal@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Make your case for any of the 20 different.
What did we underscore or overscore?
Narratives that we discussed here.
Yeah.
All right. We will go back through in the end. I'll give you the official tabulation of how all this shook out.
Yeah.
And you can write in, you can tweet us, you can Facebook us. We will even post the scorecard I'll make a little scorecard up on Facebook. Go on there, go everywhere, and tell us where you think we were right, where we were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But at least as it stands now, time of recording, 6:15 on what is this? February 8th.
Yeah, Wednesday the 8th.
2017.
Mm-hmm.
22-22.
Dead That's heat. Incredible.
Wow. Dead heat.
Any thoughts on news, Ty?
I don't have the soundboard with me, otherwise I'd play
break. Yeah, yeah. Boop, 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 boop. Okay, so Sark leaves Alabama after... So Sark goes 0-1. Lane Kiffin goes, what, 13-0? 14-0? Lane Kiffin's at FAU. Sark is at the Atlanta Falcons.
Makes perfect sense.
Total sense. Sark leaves after game. The word was that he and Nick Saban didn't particularly agree on many things, and it was best for all parties so that he leave.
Saban and Kiffin were at odds.
Yeah.
Saban and Sark were at odds.
Yeah.
Okay. Lane Kiffin, he lands on his feet. Sark mm-hmm. lands on his feet. Nick Saban here, in a sense, has the bully pulpit because he is Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And because he won a horde of national championships mm-hmm. and continues to recruit well, win 13 games a season, get to the playoff, get to the national championship.
And if you coach for him, you are generally getting an even better job or even a more powerful job out of it.
For me, as a college football fan, I am less interested in Sark going to the Falcons and more interested in some of the rumored names I've heard as...
Two of the three are Oregon
offensive
names.
Coordinators, yeah. Right? Mark Helfrich being one, Chip Kelly being another.
Yes.
Those are the two that I think have the most steam on them. Obviously, anything involving Chip Kelly is going to pop
mm-hmm.
in college football spheres. That, to me, would obviously be the most interesting, almost borderline unfair name
yes.
to put down there in Tuscaloosa. Are there any other names we've heard?
No, there was one other name. I forget what it is right now. It did not have the same cachet. It was Bruce Feldman tweeted out, it's Chris Godsey, something like that.
Okay.
Chip Kelly would be enormous if he went to Alabama.
It would be unfair.
He wouldn't be there for longer than a year, but he could install something that would reap benefits for years to come.
Especially with a mobile quarterback in Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
You know, that's sort of his calling card.
With a mobile quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who, by the way, Mark Helfrich would also be a pretty big boon, although it is a year with a lot of turnover recruiting-wise for Alabama in terms of the coaches who have left who have been successful recruiters led by Mario Cristobal. Mark Helfrich not necessarily known as a huge recruiter, whereas Chip Kelly, I think, could succeed
a lot.
So
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk strategery here on the show.
Please.
If you are Nick Saban and you have your pick between Chip Kelly and Mark Helfrich.
Yeah.
George Godsey. Okay. Yeah. If you have your pick between those two ex-Oregon head football coaches, mm-hmm. do you take Chip Kelly because you feel he is superior schematically and also probably an exact body double,
right.
exact mind double, mind meld of Nick Saban in his, you know...
How thorough and detail-specific.
No BS mentality.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know he's only going to be there a year.
Right.
Or do you take Mark Helfrich, whom
it's probably has there at least
a lot
like
of
three.
Similar yeah. sensibilities, but will be there a little bit longer?
I think Helfrich because he'll install a lot of what Oregon did offensively. You can recruit without him. I mean, he's still, I think, a decent recruiter. He's just not... He doesn't have the force of personality of a successful head coach at a huge place like Oregon. It's not going to work out for Mark Helfrich at a place like that anytime soon.
Yeah.
He is regarded as extremely nice and extraordinarily bright. Like, he is an X's and O's savant. He's easy to get along with, which I think is where maybe Sark and Lane Kiffin
yeah.
were less so. So I think Helfrich would be able with a quarterback, which he has been a very good quarterback coach when he's had the actual talent to work with. And it was his fault he didn't at Oregon. The Chip thing, it would be very strong for a year, but it would burn out fast because Chip is going to go take like the UCLA job next year or something. God forbid.
There's undoubtedly a burning desire to go out and get the big fish in Chip Kelly.
Yes.
I would not fault Nick Saban if he wanted to go that direction.
I think it's an A-plus if he grabs him. Yeah.
Nobody would fault
him. And it's not as if Chip Kelly went from being a receivers coach to a head coach. Chip Kelly was an offensive coordinator at Oregon, at New Hampshire, like has that experience.
It would be an absolute tour de force if they bring him in.
Yep.
But there are no bad options if you're Nick Saban.
No.
And if you get Mark Helfrich, that almost makes more sense long term.
And who's to say Mark Helfrich, though, won't be available next year after Chip leaves? So maybe you do both.
There you go.
Maybe you hope for both.
Okay. Is there any other news?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of assistants leaving after signing day. I know Florida lost a pretty well-regarded DBs coach, which is always a bummer because they hang around and a lot of their contracts are like just through signing day. And then they take off, which, again, kids, commit to the school.
Yeah.
Commit to the school. Don't commit to the coach, if at all possible. You know, there's always rules changes that are involved with thing. Oregon fired another assistant coach. He was in the car with the tight ends / co-offensive coordinator who was arrested for a DUI, who was let go, and he has moved on. This receivers coach who was also in the car, he is now the receivers coach and like passing game coordinator for UCLA, Jimmy Doherty.
Okay.
Harbaugh guy was at Michigan last year as an offensive analyst. So a little bit of turmoil there still.
Baylor fired a coach as part of a prostitution sting that he got caught up in.
Strength coach. Baylor, and the report came out about Baylor, and it was just horrific.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do. It's beyond the NCAA still, I feel like the NCAA has very little, if not any, business meddling into legal affairs.
Yeah. Matt Rhule, there's a reason they gave him more runway.
Yeah.
In a 7-year contract.
Yeah.
I wonder if
it was his strength coach though that followed him from Temple, correct?
Coach. It was unfortunate and you know, just oddly coincidental that this would be the kind of thing that his guy would get tied up in down at Baylor, especially given all that's going on there. But I definitely had more than a handful of conversations with some friends who said, "Wow, do you wish Matt Rhule had thought twice about this?"
Right.
I don't know if this would have changed the game. I think he knew what he was walking into. He's a bright guy. But
is Matt Rhule, here's my question now. Sorry to interrupt you. Is Matt Rhule Texas Bill O'Brien? Like if he immediately turns Baylor into, if they go 8-4 in 2018, 9-3 in 2018. Like they have a better than expected season, you know, he's a solid presence in Waco. Everybody regards him really well. Like I think everybody regarded Bill O'Brien really well during his brief time in state college. Is it a situation where, yes, it's a 7-year deal, he goes 9-3, he's going to take like the A&M job, or he's going to take UCLA or coach there briefly, or he's going to take, if James Franklin moves on, he takes the Penn State job? Do you think there's that possibility?
I hadn't even thought of that.
Because if, let's say, James Franklin has another, we're going like, we're playing dumb people chess right now. James Franklin has another extraordinary season. He goes 11-1, 10-2 in 2017. And he takes, do Eagles fans hate their coach already? I'm assuming they do.
Yeah, what's his name? Assume they do. Doug Peterson.
Doug Peterson.
They like Doug Peterson.
Oh, they do. Okay.
But probably only because they have Carson Wentz.
Okay, so maybe.
They like Doug Peterson.
Do Giants fans hate their coach, Ben McAdoo?
I think they do.
Oh, they like Ben McAdoo.
They like Ben McAdoo.
Okay, let's say, you know, it's finally time for some NFL team to move on from their coach.
What I meant to say about Doug Peterson is Eagles fans always hate the coach. They don't hate him as much as they would normally because they really like Carson Wentz.
Right. And they really didn't like Chip Kelly.
Correct.
So there's, okay, so let's say whoever, some, I.
There is a preeminent job available in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's some
and
sort
Matt
of job
Rhule
there.
Is having success down in Waco.
Yeah.
I could see a situation.
Yeah, maybe Marvin Lewis moves on. Cincinnati wants to make the next step and they hire James Franklin.
In which Matt Rhule would leave.
Okay. After 2 years.
2-3 years.
Okay.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could totally see that. But just the bad state of affairs looks really bad for Art Briles. I wouldn't expect we're going to see Art Briles in the game.
Just such scum.
At any point in time.
Yeah.
So that's a tough pill to swallow if you're in the Art Briles camp, to say the least. Otherwise, though, do we have any other news? I think that pretty much covers it.
Not too much.
Okay.
We have plenty of time this offseason to hit any news we may have missed.
So again, here are my picks.
Yeah.
Tom Herman coaching rumors 4. Bill Hancock's bullshit 1. Jim Harbaugh /SEC feud 2.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey's versatility 1.
Yep.
Hype for a recently unsuccessful Pac-12 school, aka Sailor. Washington.
Yeah.
That was a 2.
Yep.
An attacking mentality, 3. Ohio State attrition, 1. This year's Iowa, in quotes, 1. Weird neutral site games, 3. Second guessing Brian Kelly, 4.
Okay. Mine are weekly ranking show 3, Michigan State disrespect 2, Mark Richt as a Miami alumnus 3, Josh Rosen's 2018 draft stock 1, Charlie Strong's do or die season 5, internet freakout of a Southern quarterback's girlfriend 3, Texas A&M's quarterback's heads are falling off 2, country singer on game day 1, locker room coach dancing 1, college stadium selling beer 1. Tell us who we have perhaps over or underscored. Also, this has nothing to do with anything. I cannot recommend Mexico City enough.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
We haven't talked much about this.
Mexico City is amazing.
And you know Spanish, which helps.
I know a little bit of Spanish, but I went with my brother and friend of the show, Bill Barnwell, who was one who found the amazing rate that we went on. I've said this to a number of people, Ty, and it's going to sound stupid, but it's the only way I can sort of put this forth. There is so much Mexican food in Mexico City. There is so, because there are 20 million people.
Never would have known that, but okay.
But it's not that there is so much in terms of the percentage of food available is Mexican, of course. But side streets, there's just like random people grilling up tortas and quesadillas and everything like that, because there are 20 million people that need to get fed. And there is so much. It was amazing. It's my new homeland.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't wait to get back. I went on a taco tour. I ate, you know, super richly. I ate super poorly. It was everything I wanted. The weather was amazing. Very walkable. Inexpensive again. Great, great review.
So this is an important question.
Yeah.
Very important question.
I'm ready.
I want you to wipe that smile off your face.
Listen, I'm very serious.
All right. This might be our final
okay
talking point here yeah on the show. For a long time on the program,
mm-hmm,
like the first 8 years of the program, your plan, if you were ever out on the lam, mm-hmm, trying to escape the feds, was to grow a mustache, change your appearance, go by an alias, mm-hmm, and work at like a beachside taco stand in San Diego.
Yes.
Would you now consider Mexico City if you could get out of the country?
Well, Mexico City, I believe, will. That's an extradition thing, right? Mexico or Mexico in general.
If they can find you.
If they can find me. I feel like I would stand out more as a gringo in Mexico City than I would in San Diego.
That's true.
And if I'm going to be on the lam, I'm probably going to want to fit in a little bit better.
Okay.
That said, not fugitive wise, I might be able to live in Mexico City.
Yeah.
I feel like I could get by in Mexico City.
Okay.
I looked at a little bit of real estate down there. I'm not going to lie. And it is affordable.
It's very affordable.
It is affordable. But yeah, Mexico, not okay seafood wise, like I was planning in San Diego. That's not where you go for seafood in Mexico City necessarily. But if you're looking to travel in the Western Hemisphere, if you're looking to travel in North America, someplace that's perhaps not super expensive and you want to eat super well, and the weather's like extraordinarily mild because it's like 7,000 feet altitude, whatever, Mexico City is great.
Okay.
It is great with a capital
Glowing
G.
Glowing review.
Glowing review. We stayed in Polanco, which is a really nice neighborhood, but we walked everywhere.
Did you meet Placido?
Did not meet okay Placido Domingo, no. It was extraordinary. Okay. Really, if you're into Mexican food, no brainer.
Okay.
Gotta go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I have one final note.
Please.
I don't do this often on the show.
Uh-oh.
Serious note here.
Oh, by the way, Brady Hoke is also a Tennessee volunteer.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. What is your final note?
Final note is I am raising money.
Oh, yeah.
I am raising money.
Pay close attention.
Very quick story, but my baby niece, Juliana, beautiful mm-hmm baby niece, was born with a congenital heart condition. Mm. And the fine folks at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, CHOP as we call it,
mm-hmm,
they treated her so well. They performed a life-saving surgery on her. She is doing well, but it is something that a number of other babies have to deal with and parents have to deal with. So I am doing what's called the Philly spin-in. I'm going to be up on a bike for some indeterminate period of time doing a spinning session to help raise money for...
Have you awareness done this before?
I have not done this before.
Do you know what it involves?
No, I am a little concerned that they may need to do open heart surgery on me after this.
Complaint. I've done it for charity.
Yeah.
The spin, what is the name of the place? Do you know?
I have no idea.
So I did this at a place called, have you heard of Soul Cycle?
No.
You've never heard of Soul Cycle?
No.
Oh my God. Kate is shaking her head right now. It's popular everywhere. It's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough. And it's... I'm not going to say anything bad about their intentions because they want to get people in shape and they want to raise money for this wonderful charity. Obviously, it is dark and it is loud and they yell at you.
Okay.
And it is like everybody there. It's a lot of women, but there's some men too. It is cult like.
Okay.
But you know what? You'll get a good sweat in for a good cause.
I'll get a good sweat in. It's for a very good cause.
Yeah.
And it's the least I can do to help out
yeah.
the fine folks with a very noble cause here to support cardiac research and care at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So if you go to, I set this up, solidverbal.com/donate, anything you're willing to donate to the cause would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
As a group, we've already reached our goal, but we want to try and drive that a lot higher because it's such a good cause and it's near and dear to our hearts. So solidverbal.com/donate. I don't ask for much, but if you're willing to pitch in a few bucks here or there, it would be greatly appreciated and certainly help out some others who are in this situation.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I got, Ty.
That's all I got, too.
I hope to be a little bit more healthy.
You sound, next week. Dude, we got to get you healthy.
I know.
You've been sick for like 4 months.
I don't like this at all.
All right. Well, we got to get some food in you. We got to mm-hmm. get some fluids in you.
Yes, sir.
Get that voice back. Get your pep back
yes.
up.
Yes.
We will be back in a week talking more college football.
Yes, we will.
Do stay tuned to the Twitter feed at Solid Verbal. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/solidverbal. And you can subscribe at itunes.com/solidverbal.
Yeah.
Guessed it.
Easy.
And the website, solidverbal.com.
Duh.
For that guy literally over there, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, thanks again for tuning in. Tweet us, write us, let us know you're out there.
Yeah, say hi.
Until next week, stay solid.
Peace.